This week we enter the second book of the Torah, Shemot, or Exodus. We're going to be talking about the most incredible story in the Torah, the birth of Moshe and the hardships of the Jewish people and the beginning of the actual redemption. Questions that come to mind are, why does the Torah begin, Sefer Shemot, with listing the names of the sons of Yaakov? How is it that Paro justifies enslaving the Bnei Yisrael? Who were the Hebrew midwives, Shifra and Puah? What is the significance of the burning bush? And why did Moshe hesitate to accept Hashem's mission to free the Bnei Yisrael? Let's take a deeper look and summarize the Parsha Shemot. The Torah begins by mentioning the names of Yaakov's sons. Whenever the Torah mentions the names of Yaakov's sons, even though we already know the names and the people that came down to Egypt, it's a sign how God loves his people. Even though they've already been mentioned and they've passed away, their legacy continues through their descendants, and Hashem counts, in inverted commas, them lovingly like precious jewels. When a new dynasty arises, Paro, the king, set out to weaken the Jews and impoverish them. First, he taxed them, giving them hard jobs. The Midrash says that at first he enticed them by giving them great contracts and a lot of money to build. And eventually, he had Egyptian taskmasters note how much a Jewish person can build in a certain amount of time. After a while, he took away the wages and he enslaved the people. And the people said, it's too much. And then the Egyptians said, well, you managed to do it last year or whenever it was when we were paying you X amount of money. You can definitely do it now. No matter how much he oppressed the Jewish people, the Jews continued to multiply, the Torah tells us, and they didn't lose their power. Paro eventually orders the midwives to kill all newborn Hebrew children. He understood, he was told by his sorcerers, that the Jewish Messiah was going to be born. The person that will take them out of Egypt was going to be born, and he wanted to take away all competition. He garnered up a great plan that the midwives, the Jewish midwives, would be convinced that whenever they would give birth to a Jewish girl, they'd let it live. But if they'd give birth to a Jewish boy, they would kill the boy already in the womb and say it was a stillborn baby. But these women, Shifra and Puah, one was Yocheved, and the other, of course, her daughter Miriam, decided that they would put God's command of giving life above the king, who they were fearful of, but they decided that they were more fearful of God Almighty, and therefore they were eventually rewarded by God. But Paro calls them after a while and he says, what's going on? How come that you are not destroying and killing these Jewish children? And they give an excuse. They say, the Jewish children are not like the Egyptians. They are already born before we get there, and therefore we can't necessarily kill them in the womb, and the people will know. Paro wanted to garner a plan in which the death of the children wouldn't be seen, and he was wanted to be seen as a nice king. But when he saw that that didn't work, so he became more evil, and he sent out an order to eliminate all Jewish children by throwing them into the River Nile. Moshe is eventually born to his mother Yocheved and father Amram. Yocheved is the daughter of Levi. That means, and Levi was the son of Yaakov, that means Yaakov had a son called Levi, who had a daughter called Yocheved, who had a son called Moshe. Four generations separated Yaakov from Moshe Rabbeinu on his mother's side, and six on his father. His father Amram was the son of Kahat, son of Levi, the son of Yaakov. When Moshe is born, his mother puts him in the reeds and hides him from the Egyptian soldiers. Miriam, his sister, is watching from the reeds to make sure that nothing bad will happen. Batya, the daughter of Paro, descends to the River Nile. The rabbis teach us that she was actually on her way to do a mikveh, to become closer to Hashem, to become a Jew. And as she's coming down to the River Nile, she notices a baby, and she sees Ki Tov. It's got this special light. It's good. Our rabbis say Tov refers to the light. It also refers to the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu was advanced. He was born already with a Brit Milah. And she sees this special light in this baby, and she brings the baby close. She stretches out her hand to try and reach it. At first she can't, and God does a miracle, and she stretches her hand, and eventually she brings the baby close. And from here we learn that when you want something and you push your hand and you try hard, God will enable you. B'derech she'adam rotze lalechet, place that you want to go. If you really want something, then God will enable you. We just got to want it. And she really wanted it. And she brought this Jewish child in, and she wants to feed the child, but the child doesn't want to drink from any of her servants. And so Miriam is found, and Miriam says, shall I go and call a Jewish midwife? And Batya, or Bitya, says, yes, go ahead. She then goes and calls Yocheved, the mother of Moshe, to actually feed Moshe. And Bitya, the daughter of Paro, says, I will pay you to feed this child. She didn't know it was the mother. And of course, Yocheved accepts. And the child is fed and grows under the house of Paro. When Moshe is brought into Paro's house, Paro is a bit worried about this person, and he does a test. He takes out these very fiery coals on the one hand of a tray, and on the other hand, his crown. And he presents it to this baby, this advanced baby Moshe, to see what's he going to choose. At that moment, Moshe was about to choose the crown, and the malach, the angel, comes and pushes his hand to touch the coal. He touches a boiling coal. He gets burnt. He puts his hand in his mouth and gets a lisp from there. From then onwards, he wasn't able to talk clearly. Eventually, when God comes to him and says, I want you to lead the Jewish people out of the land of Egypt, Moshe says, Kvad pe anochi, I am heavy in speech. I'm the wrong guy. You need an orator. You need somebody that can take them out. But God will tell him, it's not about the orator. It's about the actual self being humble. You are a vessel, and you are a special man, and you will take them out. Moshe grows up in Paro's palace, and he understands that he is Jewish. Maybe his mother has told him Yocheved, but he can see his brethren are suffering. And at one stage, he goes out one day, and he sees an Egyptian whipping a Jew. And he intervenes, killing the Egyptian. Now, rabbis tell us, by speech, he said the shame, Hashem, God's name, and the Egyptian gets whacked out. The next day he comes out and he sees two Jews are fighting, Datan and Aviram. And he tries to intervene and bring peace, but they don't want to have anything. And they say to him, Hal Hargeni Ata Omer, are you going to kill us like you killed that Egyptian? And at that moment, Moshe says, wow, Achen Noda Hadavai. It looks like now this matter is known and I'm going to get in trouble. And they actually go and report him to Paro, and he runs away. A deeper understanding is Achen Noda Hadavar. I now understand, said Moshe, why the Jewish people are in this exodus. It's because they are saying Lashon Hara about each other. They are not speaking well about each other. Here I am trying to save them, and they're going and tell Paro, and Paro wants to now kill me. Moshe ran away, and he runs to a place called Midian. Over there, he sees some ladies that are having trouble with the shepherds. And Moshe helps the ladies. Eventually, they go into their father, and they tell us, the father Yitro says, how come you hurried up so much today? And they tell him, because we were saved by an Egyptian. Our rabbis tell us that's one of the faults, that Moshe looked like an Egyptian still, and rather than being called a Hebrew, he's called as an Egyptian. But nevertheless, Eventually, Moshe marries Zipporah, Yitro's daughter, and she gives birth to two children, one called Gershom and one called Eliezer. God remembers his promise, and after 210 years in slavery, the Jewish people have been crying out to God, and all those tefillot and all those prayers, together with the zechut of Abraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov, Sarah, of Gerach, and Leah, are heard by God Almighty. And at one stage, Moshe is herding Yitro's flock in the desert when he sees a burning bush, and the bush was not consumed by fire. What is the significance of the burning bush? The significance is that God was saying, no matter how hard and tough times are, I will always be there. They will never be able to consume you. Moshe goes to see what's happening. Even though he was shepherding, he wanted to understand what's this phenomena. One of the greatness of a good leader is when you see something happening on the side, are you able to look? Are you able to follow the correct vision and the correct path? And he made that decision, I'm not going to ignore this, I'm going to look into this. And he went and he saw, and God appears to him, and he says who he is and how he wants Moshe Rabbeinu to go and lead the people out of Egypt. There is a conversation between Moshe and Hashem for 7 days. Moshe is trying to push away this newfound obligation of being the leader. He is a humble person, and he pushes it onto his brother. Let my brother Aaron, he's older than me. He's been in Egypt. He's been suffering. He's been the leader of the people in Egypt. Let him lead the Bnei Yisrael out. But Hashem says, I want you. God gives him signs to show the people. He says, number one, throw your stick down. He threw his stick down and it became into a snake. And number two, he put his hand into his garment and he took it out and it became white with leprosy. Number three, if they don't believe you, then I'm going to show and eventually bring blood to the river Nile. Moshe proceeds to go to Egypt. He gathers the elders and tells them that God has appeared to them, and he gives the sign. The sign was the name, the words that Yosef had given to Serach bat Asher in last week's parasha in Parashat Vayechi, Pado Yifteh, God will remember and God will redeem his people. They go to Paro, but Paro is having none of it, and he makes life harder for the Jewish people. At the end of the parasha, Moshe and Aaron come out, and the Jewish people are upset with them that they made life even more difficult. Moshe prays to God and encourages God, asking why has he sent him if the people have not been freed. Next week's parsha, God responds.